Welcome to the deep dive. Today we're really getting into the weeds on digital performance.
Yeah, specifically looking at this idea of digital friction.
Exactly. We've got a bunch of source material here, and our mission is to figure out how this friction, maybe more than just slow pages, is actually like secretly draining revenue from businesses.
And that's the key thing we found, isn't it? It's not just general slowness.
Right.
The sources, especially drawing from Blue Triangle's approach, focus on these very specific, measurable moments, points where customers just give up.
Sticky points where they bail on a cart or just can't finish buying something.
Precisely. And the usual tools, things like APM, Application Performance Monitoring, or DX tools, they often give you a glimpse, but maybe not the full picture.
Yeah, they show something is slow, maybe.
Right. APM might flag a server issue, DX might track clicks, but they often miss what the sources are calling these priciest conversion killers.
Why? Because they don't connect it to money.
Exactly. They don't directly quantify that glitch or that slow load
Yeah.
in terms of lost dollars. And that seems to be Blue Triangle's whole value proposition, according to this material.
I'm
They
wrapped.
bridge that gap. They
Yeah.
show precisely where the friction is. They put a dollar amount on how much it's costing, like right now.
And then tell you what to fix first to get the biggest bang for your buck, the highest ROI.
That's the idea, closing that loop.
Okay, we have to start with the money then, because
Yeah.
the numbers in these sources, honestly, they're kind of stamp staggering. They're the hook.
They really are.
In 2023 alone, it says Blue Triangle clients found $2.7 billion in lost revenue opportunities. Billion.
$2.7 billion.
Yeah.
It grabs your attention. It shows
Yeah.
this isn't just an IT problem, it's a boardroom issue.
Absolutely. And not theoretical money either. This is revenue leakage they identified.
And we saw in that case study too, one customer, they apparently recovered over $50 million in revenue in 1 year just
Yeah.
by fixing these friction points.
50 million. Recovered. I mean, that just changes everything for a business.
Really does.
But maybe the most striking number, especially if you're listening and thinking about costs, is the ROI.
Yes, the average return.
The average cited is $13 in revenue back for every $1 spent on this kind of analysis and solution.
13 to 1. That makes it a revenue generator, plain and simple, not just another IT cost center.
Yeah, it completely reframes the conversation.
It stops being, hey, the website's slow, we should fix it, and becomes, look, fixing this specific thing could bring back, say, $3 million next quarter.
Okay, so that's the why. Let's unpack the how. How do they actually drill down from these huge, scary numbers to like the specific bit of code causing the problem?
Well, it seems to be built on this structure, kind of a closed loop. Three main parts: quantify friction, resolve friction, and then validate the outcomes.
Quantify, resolve, validate. Okay.
The whole point is to make sure any change you make, whether it's performance or user experience, ties directly back to measurable revenue recovery.
That structure makes sense. It builds an accountability. So let's start at the beginning. Quantify friction. Seems obvious, but putting a dollar figure on the pain, not just measuring milliseconds, that's the key to prioritizing, right?
Absolutely correct. Your typical performance metrics just tell you how fast or slow things are. This approach measures the lost money.
How? What tools do they use for that?
They use some really interesting tools mentioned in the sources, like the conversion rate curve. That sounds critical.
Conversion rate curve. Okay, what does that show?
It basically maps out how performance degradation, even just a tiny bit slower, directly impacts whether people actually buy something for specific groups of users.
Ah, so it's not just one number. It might show, for instance, that users hitting a 2-second load time convert, I don't know, 40% less often than those under 1 second.
Exactly that kind of thing. It makes the impact incredibly clear. And they get really granular with other costs, too.
Like what?
Well, the sources list things like the cost of broken links. Seems basic, but how often is that actually tied to lost sales?
Rarely, I guess.
And the cost of out of stocks. If someone wants to buy something and it's not there, they quantify that immediate lost sale and the potential future loss because the customer got frustrated.
That's smart. Thinking about the long-term impact, too.
And there's also a competitive index, so you can see how your friction costs stack up against your main competitors.
Ooh, that is interesting. Gives you context. Okay, so you've quantified the pain in dollars. Now, pillar two, resolve friction. This is finding the actual technical gremlin, right? What tools do they use for the deep dive?
Yeah, this is where it gets pretty technical. They use things like customer journey analytics, mapping out the path users take.
Okay.
And then for the really deep diagnostics, tools like function tracing.
Function tracing. Tell us, what does that show you that, say, normal debugging or performance monitoring might miss.
So function tracing lets you see the internal journey of the code. Which specific server process or API call or maybe a microservice is the bottleneck causing the delay?
Okay. So it takes you beyond just the checkout button is slow.
Exactly. It tells you why it's slow. Like it's slow because this specific call to the third-party fraud check service is taking 800 milliseconds. It gets you to the root cause, not just the symptom.
That level of detail is crucial for actually fixing it efficiently. The sources also mention anomaly detection and specifically looking at content security policy errors, CSP.
Yes, CSP. It's super important for security, right? It stops malicious scripts.
Right.
But if it's set up wrong or if a third-party script violates it, it can block legitimate things the user needs, payment buttons, tracking scripts, things essential for conversion.
And you might not even know it's happening without specific monitoring.
Precisely. Anomaly detection catches those breaches fast. The whole goal of this resolve pillar is prioritizing the fixes based on that quantified ROI. You tackle the $5 million problem before the $5,000 one.
Makes sense. And that focus on the money makes it strategic, not just technical. Let's zoom in on two big areas mentioned in the sources where this approach finds major savings: Core Web Vitals and third-party content.
Okay, yeah. Core Web Vitals, CWV. Everyone's talking about them for SEO and user experience.
Google cares a lot about them.
Right. But just getting a score isn't enough. You need to know why your score dipped and what to fix. This platform apparently helps get the scores that, quote, will make Google happy. By pinpointing the specific reasons for bad scores, tracking trends, and even letting you benchmark against competitors' CWV scores.
And there was a specific technical detail in the sources I found fascinating. The focus on largest contentful paint, LCP, subpart timings. What does that even mean, subpart timings?
Yeah, that's really getting into the nitty-gritty. LCP basically is when the main chunk of content appears on the page.
Okay.
But LCP itself isn't instant. It has phases: waiting for the resource, loading the resource, waiting to render, actually rendering. Subpart timing breaks down how long each of those phases took.
So instead of just knowing your LCP was, say, 3 seconds.
You know why? Was it a slow server response taking ages before rendering even started? Or was it a massive image file that took forever to download?
I see. So the engineering team knows immediately if it's a back-end problem or a front-end optimization issue, like image compression.
Exactly. It tells them where to focus their effort. Saves a ton of wasted time.
That's incredibly actionable. Makes sense why that consultant quote was in there.
Yeah. The web ecosystem consultant praised their great work around LCP subpart timings for giving customers actionable insights. It's about pinpointing the real problem.
Okay, let's switch to the other big culprit, third-party content. All those widgets, trackers, ad pixel.
Oh, yeah. The necessary evil sometimes. Marketers love them, but they can absolutely kill performance.
And it usually falls on IT or site reliability engineers to manage the chaos, right? Which isn't really their main job.
Totally. It's often described as a silent performance killer. The sources say this platform actually finds and inventories every single one of those third-party tags.
Every single one. That alone sounds like a huge task.
Apparently so. Ads, analytics, social widgets, everything. Then they analyze the risk, the performance impact of each one.
And then what? Just block them all?
No, it's smarter than that. They help optimize how and when they load. Maybe deferring non-essential ones, loading critical ones faster, removing the speed bumps they cause.
Ah, managing the sequence.
Right. The goal, as one source put it, is save what you need, axe what's weighing you down, and see site performance soar.
So again, it connects a technical fix optimizing tag loading directly back to the business goal of converting more users.
That's the whole thread, really.
Yeah.
Identify the paths where users convert best, find the friction points stopping more users on those paths, fix them, and quantify the result.
And that's how you become a hero to your CEO, as the material says. Not just fixing bugs, but directly boosting revenue.
Exactly. By showing the dollars and cents you recovered.
Okay, so quantified the pain, resolved the issue. That brings us to pillar three, validate outcomes. You need proof the fix actually worked, right? Especially for the execs.
Absolutely. Validation is key. You need that indisputable proof for ROI and honestly for getting budget next time.
How do they provide that?
Through things like revenue attribution, directly linking the performance improvement to the sales increase. Also executive trend reports and what's changed reports.
So clear before and after, tied to money.
Precisely. Tools that show undeniably that the optimization delivered financially, not just technically.
And this kind of data, it must help different teams work together better. Engineering, product, marketing, they often have different priorities.
Yeah, the sources suggest it really aligns them. Engineering gets clear root causes and can show the financial impact of their fixes, which also helps justify maintenance and stability work.
And product.
Product teams can use the friction data to see which user struggles are having the biggest financial impact. That helps them prioritize their roadmap features, fixes for the biggest bang for your buck.
Right. Makes sense. And marketing. How does this help them beyond just higher conversion rates? The sources mentioned average order value, AOV.
That's a really good point. How does less friction increase AOV?
Yeah, you think it mainly affects if they buy, not how much.
Well, think about it. If a user hits a really slow page or a buggy form or something breaks during checkout, they might panic.
Yeah, I just want to get out of there.
Right. They might rush through checkout with only the one item they absolutely needed, abandoning anything else in their cart. Mm-hmm. Or they might just feel less confident making a bigger purchase on a site that feels shaky.
Ah, I see. So a smooth, fast, reliable experience builds confidence.
Exactly. It makes them feel more comfortable browsing longer, maybe adding that extra item, accepting an upsell. It leads to higher AOV, maximizing the value of the customer you already paid to acquire through your marketing spend.
It turns performance from just a technical thing into a lever for customer lifetime value and profitability.
It really does. It shows the digital experience is a direct driver of the bottom line.
Okay, but wait, before we wrap up, there was that really interesting kind of counterintuitive point in the resource hub.
You mean the idea that friction isn't always bad?
Exactly. We've spent this whole time talking about friction like it's pure evil, like it's theft.
Right. And then there's this piece asking, can friction serve a positive purpose? It suggests that sometimes adding a bit of intentional friction can be good.
How so?
Well, think about two-factor authentication when you log in. That's friction, right? It's an extra step.
Yeah, it takes longer.
But it builds trust. It enhances security, protects the user, or maybe a detailed sign-up process that filters for more serious customers. That's purposeful friction.
Okay, that's a fascinating twist. It really changes the perspective from just eliminating all friction to being strategic about it.
It does. It raises the question, if removing bad friction is so valuable, what about strategically designing good friction?
So let's recap the main takeaway from this deep dive then. The core benefit seems to be moving way beyond just general performance numbers.
Yeah, it's about identifying those specific priciest conversion killers.
And then using the potential ROI, the dollar impact, to prioritize what gets fixed first. So companies can, as the source says, squeeze millions of dollars more from your existing site traffic.
It's the difference between knowing your site feels a bit slow and knowing that one specific button with an 800 millisecond delay is costing you $1.5 million a month. That level of specific quantified insight is powerful.
Hugely powerful. Okay, so our whole discussion really focused on finding and fixing the bad friction, the costly stuff.
Right, the revenue leakage.
But that mention of positive friction, it leaves a question hanging, doesn't it? If quantifying and removing negative friction recovers so much money,
what's the potential gain from deliberately designing and quantifying positive friction points?
Exactly. Those moments that maybe build loyalty or improve security or somehow enhance the customer relationship. Could that be the next competitive advantage?
That's definitely something to think about. Moving beyond just a fast digital experience to a strategically intelligent one. Something for you, the listener, to consider.